This morning I want to continue our service of our sermons on Off the Page, the Bible walking into our lives and being lived out. And this one might be a little more difficult because this hits us right where most of us live. And it calls your treasures in heaven. And the scripture goes like these, and these are the words of Jesus. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and vermin corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. Or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, then the light within you is good. But if your eyes are unhealthy, then you're in darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, then how great is that darkness? You can't serve two masters. You'll either love one, hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money." So the question I have to pose to us this morning is this a contest between God and money? Can we have God and have money? Or can we have God without money? Or can we have money without God? Or can we have both? So the determination here is going to be made in the context of what Jesus is saying as a complete sermon on the Mount. What he's saying here is, I believe, in the context of what he's saying to the people there that were sitting on the hill listening to this great sermon. He says, the eyes that are going to see treasure are going to be different from those whose eyes do not see Christ. If you are in Christ, the treasures that you will see, that you will value and hold high in your life are going to be different than those. It's interesting, this morning as we were in Sunday school talking about one of the things, unless you hate your father and mother more than me and your wife and your children and your family, you can't be my disciple. Now, what does he mean by that? And it's the same thing going on here. If we have a view of treasure, and so that is different than what the world is, the things that we treasure, what are some of the things that we're going to look at? Are we going to look at our 401k differently? Are we going to look at the job that we have differently? Are we going to look at our investments differently? Or, you know, and all down the money line, because money represents world security. If you've got enough money to get through the rest of your life, and there's one gentleman I know that says, "I've got enough money to live three lives." Well, good for you. But as the world thinks about the riches and the treasures, they think in the terms of what we have. And that's not anything new to anybody, is it? We look at somebody that's got a beautiful house and a really nice car, and we think, man, are they lucky. Look at what they've got. What we don't look at is how much they owe for the house and how much they owe for the car. There's always negatives for that. So the real question here that Jesus may be asking us and talking to us about is, what is real treasure? What is real treasure? What is so important that you would give up any earthly thing for to possess? And I think Jesus used a couple of parables, the pearl of great price, the treasure that was hidden in a field, that the man went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy the field to possess the treasure. He sold everything that he had so that he could buy the pearls and possess the pearls. And whatever thought he had about those, the concept was that these things were going to make him happy. They were going to fill him up for the rest of their lives. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning in the 16th verse, it says, there came a man to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, keep the commands." "Well, which ones?" He says, "Well, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbors yourself. You keep these, you'll live." "Well, I've kept all these. What more do I lack?" He says, "Well, if you want to be perfect, Go and sell all that you have, all your possessions, and give them to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, we have two pictures here of what treasure might be, don't we? The man walked away because he thought that Jesus was talking about having to give up everything that he had to follow him. And so he went away sad because, man, he had great stuff. Nobody knows how many hours of sweat he put into what he possessed. Nobody knows how hard he had to work, how he had to scheme, what he had to sacrifice to have what he had. And then Jesus is saying, give it all up, give it to the poor who never worked for it, who never did. Is that what Jesus is saying? Is that what Jesus said to this man? I don't think so. My opinion, but I don't think that's what he's saying. But he was talking about a view that comes from God, God's own view of us, that we are to duplicate as we are followers of Christ, that I think he's talking about us, our attitude towards our money. Maybe, since you have this great wealth, this wealthy man, since you have great wealth, how are you going to allocate that wealth that you have so that you can have eternal life? Jesus used an odd word here. If you want to be perfect, now what does perfect mean to you? The biblical rendering of this word is wholly dedicated. Doesn't mean without fault, it means wholly dedicated. If you want to be wholly dedicated, you can't love money more than you love me. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. And again, we have to ask ourselves a very fundamental question that will be totally adverse to the world's concept of what wealth and treasure are. What do we do with what God has given to us? Very simply put, what do we do with what God's given to us? You know, a lot of our treasure isn't in our bank account, is it? A lot of our treasure isn't in the possessions that we have, not in the cars that we drive. But one of the greatest treasures that I think we often fail to see is the treasure and the gift that God has created in each one of us. And how are we going to use that treasure, those gifts, those abilities that God has allocated into each one of us to glorify his name and to uphold and support and enhance the kingdom of God? If we hoard all of these things for ourselves, there's a parable about a rich fool who said, you know, I have this great crop. I have not barns big enough. I don't have enough. I just don't have the capacity to keep all this. And then he says, so here's what I'll do. I'll just tear them down. I'll build new ones and I'll store all this stuff for me and I'll have enough to last me for the rest of my life, maybe three lifetimes. And I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to retire. I'm going to set myself down in the lazy boy and just be lazy to the max. But God says, or Jesus says, you fool. Tonight, in your lazy boy, being lazy, your life's over. And all this planning, all this work has done absolutely no earthly good for anyone but you. And so this morning, the basic question that we need to answer is what I am, who I am, and what I have good for anyone else. Does it benefit anyone but me? And I think Jesus is calling us to a different standard of what treasure is and what truth is and what value is. Because if we do not see the value and the truth, in fact, if we remember the Beatitudes, they were all relational, weren't they? Relational between God and how we view people. And if we don't view people as treasures, then we will never invest in people. If we don't see our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we don't see the lost in this world through the eyes of Christ, then we'll never know what treasure is. God created the world. He created us, and he created the treasures, all this bounty, all these great things that we see and experience in life to enhance our life upon earth. And I am a firm believer that there should not be one hungry person in this world. Because I believe God established in his creation and in his foreknowledge enough produce from this earth that he's created and molded to fit the needs of man to take care of every need that there would ever be on this planet, regardless of the fear of overpopulation. I believe that there should be no poverty in this world because God has blessed this earth with enough wealth that no man should go without food, shelter, or clothing. And often when we send, as churches, we send great missionary shipments over to foreign countries. It should be enough to take care of their physical needs for some time. But what happens? It gets pilfered at the dock. The things are gone through. And the people never get what they need. And that's easy for us to identify, isn't it? That we see corrupt governments, we see corrupt people stealing from those for whom this good was intended. But I'm going to suggest we look a little closer to home. We look into the mirror and see if we are not the pilferers of the great treasures and gifts that God has given to us, that we take and siphon off for ourselves before we think of anyone else and their needs. You know, I am never so blessed. Now, I don't know, you may think I'm nuts. Well, you'd be right. But when my daughters come in need and they ask for something, there's no greater joy in my life to be able to attend to that need. Because I feel like it's an expression, first of all, of love, and it's an expression and an opportunity to share beyond self. And I think that the rewards for that are greater often than if I would have spent it on myself. And, you know, I don't know how much reward you can get out of chicken netting and fence posts and things like that, but the joy of sharing with family. You know, there's often opportunities that we have, but there are people that are not of our family that we see that there's a need and we get to share with that need, and that becomes a treasure. And as we think about how we deal with what God has given to us, which is so extravagant and so generous, that sometimes we forget that God's economy is based on, and I'm not talking just about money here, God's economy is based on selflessness, about our eyes that see beyond ourselves, about a heart that reaches out to places where maybe nobody else could reach. Jesus was famous for walking among the people that were rejected and despised and beneath the social recognition of the world in which they lived. I just wonder, are we? One of the greatest examples I can think of in our time is Mother Teresa. You know, she was given multiple brand new cars. You know what she did? She hopped in them and she drove around and said, "Look at my brand new car." No, she didn't. She sold them. She sold them. And you know what she did with the money? She put it in her 401k. No, she didn't. She used it to help those around her. And you know what? I don't know that Mother Teresa ever went without anything that she actually needed. In fact, in the following verses, which we'll get into next Sunday, it says, he already knows what you need. He already knows what you need. And if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, he's going to give you these things you need. He knows what you need. But the real issue is, do we see how God wants to bless other people through what he's given to us? Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, the older I get, the closer my end destination is. And the older I get and the more serious I get about the end destination, the more I search my heart. And the more I really wonder, have I truly lived a life that would warrant Jesus saying, "Well done"? And as I get older, And I see children, I see grandchildren, I see great-grandchildren. I began to realize that the vanities and the things that I treasured so much in life when I was young are not even remotely close to the treasures that we have in our hearts now. God can see from beginning to end. We can see for the moment or the gift of time that God has given to us. But I think it would behoove us to begin to identify what true treasure is, how to apply true treasure, and to rejoice in the treasure of knowing God. I want to live the rest of my life in such a way that that life would be a treasure, regardless of what kind of finances involved, regardless of what I have. I want my life to be a treasure to somebody. Because if I'm making myself, no, I can't make myself. If I allow God to use me as a treasure to other people, then I'm laying up great treasure in heaven. And nobody there is going to steal it. How many of you have an investment account? Almost, I do. We all do. You probably every once in a while look at how it's doing, don't you? Or are you afraid to look? I mean, it's not just something that you put someplace and then you don't pay any attention to it, do you? Just keep an eye on it. And that's the way God wants us to look at our treasures in heaven. Our great treasure is to be with Jesus Christ. And if that's being said, if that's true, which I believe that it is, a great treasure to be with Jesus Christ, then the greatest treasure we have on earth is following Christ and doing what he wants us to do. Because we cannot be divided. We can't serve God, and we can't mold ourselves to fit into the world as well. Because we are different, we will always be different, because God has made us different through his salvation. And through his teaching and our obedience to that word, we can find the true treasures of life. I know I've probably shared this, and I know you've experienced it. Not every day is a good day, is it? Some days have more challenges than others. There's times when a bill comes in, you don't know if you've got enough. You don't know how you're going to pay it. And so you figure out a way. You go to your knees, you do whatever you do, you figure out a way. And man, that's tough, and I wish we didn't have to go through that. But in the years that follow, when you look back, look at when you grew. It's when you had to struggle, wasn't it? And the treasure is that God knew what we needed, and he provided. God provides for his children. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." Doesn't take into account, or it doesn't mean that there will not be suffering, that there will not be hunger, because men are evil. But his people will always have the bread of life, the word of God. And in those dark moments when we're isolated from the world and our life is just about to be taken from us, we have treasure, the treasure of Jesus Christ, the treasure of God's word that sustains us and upholds us into the gates of heaven. Your 401k can't do that for you, because it can be gone in a heartbeat. And if you had very much money invested about 4 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 years ago, you know how quickly it can evaporate. But God said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Where's your treasure? Where is your treasure? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you have given us this great gift of your word, of your Son Jesus Christ, and the hope of eternal life. And I pray that the treasures that we lay up, the good that we do, the things that we give, the representation of you in our lives will help someone else along the way, in Jesus' name. Amen.